The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
This is quite a long reading, so if anybody gets tired, it's not a sin to sit down. Just listen. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshiped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please have a seat. This man named George MacDonald, who was a Scottish minister and the father of a huge family and a writer of wonderful children's fantasy stories in the 19th century. And he wrote this: "It has been well said that no man ever sank under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear." And we know that. We know, especially in these days of anxiety about spreading disease, that worrying about the future weighs us down. But we're all also burdened by our past. People tend to go through life lugging the burden of human history on their backs. No matter who you are, in some way or in many ways, the events of the past intrude themselves into your everyday life. Our nation carries these heavy burdens of slavery and of genocide right from its very beginning, and we feel those wounds as a society right up to this present day. Those deeply ingrained injustices of poverty and racism, those are the root causes of so much violence, so much suffering, so much division between us as a people. When we read the news every day, there are stories behind the stories. There's sinfulness and woundedness from the past that keeps on and on and on feeding the sinfulness and woundedness of this day. And of course, it doesn't just happen on the level of societies and nations, because every one of us has his or her own history that we carry around, our own personal baggage that weighs us down. And it also weighs in on our every reaction and our thoughts and our decisions. We're like elephants in many ways. We never forget. We might forget what we had for breakfast. We might forget that we have a dentist appointment at 1:30. We might forget where we put our glasses, sometimes even when they're on our face. But, which has happened, but we'll never forget that our teacher laughed at us in third grade when we pronounced a word incorrectly. We'll never forget that our friend betrayed us. We'll never forget that we hurt somebody we loved. Guilt and shame and anger and resentment, those things cling to us. We carry them around and they make our steps heavier. They darken our relationships with God. They come between us and other people. And so when we read today about Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, that story bears the weight of a lot of other stories that came before it. First of all, there was this story of the long enmity between the Jews and the Samaritans. Both groups of people traced their lineage from Abraham. They both considered themselves Israelites. They both followed the law of Moses. But something had happened that had come between them and that had made them enemies instead of brothers, so much so that a Jew traveling from Galilee in the north to Judea in the south would go way out of their way just to avoid passing through Samaria and coming in contact with a Samaritan. So much so that it was almost unthinkable that Jesus, a Jewish teacher, should strike up a conversation with a Samaritan when they met at the well at lunchtime. A Samaritan and a woman too, which made it all the more unthinkable. And the story behind all that animosity had begun almost 8 centuries earlier, before Jesus sat down by the well, when God had punished the Israelites, the northern kingdom of Israel, for its sin and idolatry, when the Assyrians carried the Israelites off into captivity and left some behind in the land. And those left behind intermarried with the Assyrians who came in,
and were considered half-breeds, no longer real, pure Israelites. If you've ever read Harry Potter, it's a little bit like the mudblood thing. Meanwhile, a couple of centuries later, the southern kingdom of Judah was carried off into captivity by the Babylonians for the very same old sins, but still, the animosity lingered century after century after century, and neither branch of the family thought of themselves or thought the other one worthy of reconciliation. They both thought of themselves as the true Israelites. So that burden, that heavy burden of history, was hanging over them when Jesus and the woman met at the well. It was the well their common ancestor had dug for his livestock. It was near the field that their common ancestor had bought and been handed down from their common ancestor Joseph. But still, they were enemies. And more than that, this woman carried a personal burden. She had a long and painful personal history. She'd been married 5 times, and we don't know whether she had lost her husbands by death or by divorce or by abandonment. And it doesn't really matter. We know that her life had been full of loss and grief and probably loneliness and also a lot of shame and disgrace, because the world tends to assume when somebody's life is a mess that they must have done something to deserve it. That's just what the world does. And so at the end of all those years of pain and grief and shame, this woman was living with a man who was not her husband at all, and so she was right at the bottom rung of society, pretty much. It was a really heavy load that that woman dragged to the well every day. So it was no wonder that she jumped at Jesus' words about living water. "Please, sir, if you have something like that, give it to me, because I am weary to death with coming every day to drink, only to be thirsty again, coming day after day with no change, with no hope of anything different." She knew her life was a mess. She knew that in the eyes of people like Jesus, her people were looked down upon. But there was something about Jesus, some kindness, some gentleness in his manner. It must have been so great that she knew she was brave enough to talk to him, to be open, to be honest. Jesus was, as Isaiah had described him, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench. And so when he met this woman with such a bruised and battered and smoldering life, she was able to speak to him freely. And she believed in him. The Messiah had come. God had sent the one he promised. And miracle of miracles, he'd sent him to her, this woman, Samaritan woman, no less, and a Samaritan woman with no social standing, no virtue, no wisdom to speak of, weighed down with the burden of all her stories. The virtue of that living water that Jesus offered to her is that it brings healing to stories. The woman called the whole village out to meet this one, saying, "This man told me everything I ever knew. He knew me." And healing began at once, because Jesus and his disciples, Jews though they were, accepted the hospitality of these Samaritans. They stayed with them for 2 days, Jews who wouldn't even go into the home of a Samaritan to eat, who wouldn't even want to rub shoulders with a Samaritan on the street. All of a sudden, enmity was forgotten, resentment was forgotten, racism and superiority and self-righteousness just evaporated in the joy of the presence of Jesus the Messiah, who didn't consider himself too important to talk to a woman, or too pure to eat with a non-Jew, or too good to love sinners, but who poured out his loving water freely to everyone so that their story could begin afresh. It was exactly that kind of rebirth that Jesus had been telling Nicodemus about. "If anyone is in Christ," Paul wrote, "he's a new creation. Behold, all things are made new. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." How many times have you wished that Have you felt that you would just give anything if you could get a have a second chance, a new start, that you could go back in time and have a do-over? The living water of the Christ is the only thing that's powerful enough to wash away the bitter taste of history so that we can be relieved of that intolerable burden of all those stories that we carry around with us. We spend a lot of time these days talking about washing. We're supposed to wash our hands over and over again throughout the day. We're supposed to wash with soap and water for as long as it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. There's articles out there about the efficacy of this disinfectant or that disinfectant, or how long the virus lives on cardboard or metal. Stores are selling out of hand sanitizers. A lot of people are carrying around this extra burden today of anxiety. They're afraid of catching the virus from another person. They're afraid that the people they love will get sick. They're anxious about all the disruptions in their lives, schools and workplaces closing, stores running low on supplies, toilet paper, anxiety about the economy and the strain on our fragile healthcare system. All this load on people. Only the living water of the Christ can wash away those burdens that we're carrying. Burdens of anxiety for the future, burdens of the stories of our past, burdens of our nation's history. It's not that those things cease to exist. We still need to wash our hands. We still need to be prudent. We still need to maintain a safe distance when we'd really like to get in there and hug everybody. We still need to be gentle with ourselves and care for our past wounds. Those don't just go away. We still need to be bold and courageous in speaking out and opposing the injustices of our society. But in Christ, we've been filled with the living water of his Spirit. We're set free to make a new beginning, a fresh beginning. There's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's nothing in heaven and on earth, there's nothing in the past or in the future that can separate us from the love of God which is ours in Christ Jesus. We just sang. We heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come to me, all you are weary, carrying around your heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm not too proud to sit by the well and talk to you. Come on, set your load down and you'll find rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Just like the Samaritan woman, we don't have to carry others. Tired old stories around us with us anymore, because we've come to the one who knows everything we ever did. Just like the Samaritan villagers and the disciples, we don't have to be bound by the prejudices and the bitterness and the separations of the past, because he's broken every chain. We're all one in him. And here in the midst of pandemic and political chaos and financial uncertainty, we don't have to carry around the fearful weight of tomorrow. It's all in his hands. Bathed in the living water of his Spirit, we're free just to live today. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen.